So how many of you need a healing this morning? Mind, body, spirit, physical, mental, emotional? Yes? Anybody have decisions to make? Choices? Guidance and direction from God, maybe? Please? Anybody here need some hope? Yes, we all need it, don't we? Yes, 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 yes. Anybody here willing to change? I gave you what you wanted first. Now I'm going to ask for something different now, right? We're going to change, right? All right. Because sometimes the way in which we operate our theology, if you will, our faith in God, our relationship with God, sometimes we get in our own ways. Can we all admit that this morning? Yes, we do, right? And so we want God's way, God's will, right? And so this morning, we're going to learn and see about two different people that went to God with a problem. Similar problem, but different. But needless to say, we're going to see two different ways to approach God and what the end results turn out to be. So I'm going to help us by comparison sometimes to see how other human beings related to God as to how we can learn from them, how to do it the way God would have us do it, and how to grow in our faith and our way, our walk with God. You good with that? Beautiful. So we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to begin there. The king of Aram had a great admiration of Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy, the maid said. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king, Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out, carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver. Yeah, a lot of money. 150 pounds of gold and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of leprosy. So who does the young girl tell Naaman that he should go see? The prophet, not the king of Israel, the prophet of God. You see already how Naaman's getting things a little on the confused side. He doesn't go directly to God. He's going to someone in power, the king, because kings had power back then. We saw the victories that they had. So already we see that he brings a bribe, if you will. He's going to bribe this person, this king, to heal Naaman. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can take life and give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? See, what this great king, as high as he was, as much as he was victorious and able to overcome other enemies, he realized he was not God. What I see here is a humble king. He knows his place. He knows that he of himself cannot heal this man of leprosy. Can you heal anybody of anything? Can you do anything throughout your life and accomplish great things? Yes. Can we do all things? Can we do the impossible? Can I do it? Can you do it? Of ourselves, can we? Let me ask the question that way. No. It's a big no. But with God, a godly person like a prophet who has the gift of healing, that's where we go. We always go to God. So the first thing we see is this king, as high as he was in power, knew how weak he was in power at the same time. So all of us that are powerful in some things, we're powerless in other things, aren't we? Can we all admit that? That's called humility. knowing how far we think we are, how high we can go in terms of controlling things. Ultimately, we have no, somebody said no control? Yeah, none. Only the control and the power that God gives us, right? Okay. But when Elisha, the man of God, the prophet, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me. I'm the guy that's going to do the healing because God is going to use me because that's who God has appointed to help heal. And he said he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. Because keep in mind, Naaman was not an Israelite, right? He didn't follow that God yet. But although he was a high commander, even he was of low power, was he? Yes. But on the other side of it, Elisha knows he has the power from God. So sometimes when you know you have God's power within you, then it's within you to act then, right? We're not totally powerless, but we're powerful with God, correct? You know the difference. Sometimes we can get prideful, can't we? We can be so powerful that we think we can do anything and we can control everybody and anything in our lives, right? That's called pride. But when we're humble, we realize I can't do it all. I need God to help me. That's where faith and trust in God comes in. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. So Elisha sends a message. He's got the right answer for Naaman. All he has to do is go to the Jordan River, dip himself 7 times, spiritual number, brings you to wholeness, right? In the Jordan River, the place where repentance happens and a washing away of sins happens, as we know later in Scripture, as John the Baptist and Jesus were baptized in the Jordan River, right? So this Elisha is a precursor always to the Messiah, right? But needless to say, he realizes this is the place that Naaman doesn't need just his leprosy healed. He needs a spiritual healing, doesn't he? Of his pride. We're going to get to that in a second if you know anything about this story. But Naaman, next verse, bad butt. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. You ever get ticked off at God because God tells you to do something and it's not the way you want it to be done? Anybody ever? Yeah? Uh-huh. No, not us. I thought, I'm going to replace the word, I expected that he would certainly come out to meet me, Mr. Pride, right? I'm a big shot. I'm a commander in the army. I'm powerful. How dare he not come out and meet me, Mr. Naaman, the commander? You see how pride is right there and coming from Naaman? And secondarily, what he then says is, I expected him to wave his hand, woo-hoo, wave that magic wand over me and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Now, are there times when God can raise a hand up and touch hands on people and heal them? Yes. This is what Naaman expected, right? He wanted Elisha to come out and say, wow, you're somebody special. You deserve to be healed because you're a commander. Mm-mm. And this is how you're going to heal me, is what Naaman was thinking. How many of us pray our prayers, this is what I want, God, and this is how I want you to do it. This is the person I want you to give me, God. I'm looking for a relationship. This is what A, B, C, D, E, F, G they must be. Send me that person, and don't give me any X, Y, Z's. Now, sometimes it's okay to pray for specifics, right? Jesus said that, right? Ask for bread, you'll get bread, right? That God understands specifics. But there's a difference between asking for something specifically and telling God what to do. That puts you above God, doesn't it? You get to be in control of God. How fun is that? How often can you win that battle when you really think about it? Not at all, never. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord as God and heal me. That's how I want my healing to come. I'm not walking down to the Jordan River. I'm not doing it. How bad does Naaman want a healing? Not very bad. But he knows how to be healed, right? He's got the answer how to be healed. He knows what God should do. And you need to do it this way, God. And I'm not doing it any other way. Anybody here ever act like that as us Christian on our Christian walk? God says, go do this. And we say, no, I'm going to go do that. And then when you go do that, you say, oh, I wish I went and did that. Right? See, with humility comes obedience. How many of us like to be told what to do? We're Americans. No one tells us what to do. We're free people. Try that when you're going about 85 miles an hour at a 55 mile an hour range. Suddenly you're not so powerful, right? Then we all need boundaries, don't we? We all need things around us to protect us from something bad, right? That's what we call the commandments, correct? Obedience to God is a good thing. It's going to be leading you to the right direction for the most powerful healing you could ever have, the best relationship you could ever have, the best job you could ever have, the best place you could ever have, if you will allow God to choose for you what you are to do. Because guess what? All of us are different, are we not? And we all need different things from God from time to time, don't we? And one of the greatest things I believe, though, all of us need all of the time is humility. Acquiescing to God's will. Not my will, but yours. Jesus set that example, did he not? To the point of death. And it was good for us, wasn't it? That he was obedient. Because otherwise we'd be still stuck in sin with no grace and no mercy. I'm back onto the story. Aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and Pharpar better than any of the other rivers of Israel? See how superior this man is? The Jordan River, it's not so great. My rivers are way better. My way of doing things way better than yours, Mr. Elisha. See how he's got a superiority complex, right? That's called pride, yes. So Naaman turned and went away in rage. Full of leprosy. Full of a hard heart. Full of a spirit that is just full of pride. He's going to get to stay stuck in that leprosy. Now, I asked a question earlier. How many of you want to change? A few of you. Good. So for the few of you that want to change in a positive way, and you're stuck somewhere, that's telling me sometimes that you're not listening to the guidance that God is giving you. Or you're telling God what to do, or you're trying to do the same thing over and over and over and getting the same result. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you get. Right? How about we start to do God's will? And how many times do we get angry that God doesn't do it our way? Yes? Don't you wish you could control God? But if you control God and I control God, there'd be a couple of things different about the way I control God and you control God. Am I right? Because I would want certain people killed off and not other people killed off. And you would want the people I wanted not wanted killed off, and you'd want the ones not wanted to get. You see how it could be? We don't need to be in control, do we? God has an infinite wisdom and knows the right thing about all things. He has the big perspective. We only can see in part this little bit of our own little world with our blinders on, not seeing the bigger picture of all humanity, right? From the top of the universe, that God can see all things. It's best for all people, not just you and me, even though he better take care of me or else. Naaman goes away in rage. So he gets, listen, if we don't humble ourselves, we get to stay stuck. You can have your way or you can have your healing. But you can't have both. So choose this day who you serve. And even if you've accomplished great things in your life, and all of us have, we can't do everything, can we? And it's okay to admit that we're weak and we can't do it all. And we need a God. That's why God even exists, to be our helper. Moving along. His officers tried to reason with him, and he said, "Sir, if the prophet has told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he simply says, 'Go and wash.' How hard is it to just go and wash in the Jordan River? It doesn't have to be all these other rivers. How hard is it, ladies and gentlemen, to just do what God's asking you to do? How hard is it when somebody says to you, 'Oh, you need counseling,' and you say, 'Oh, no, that's you know, there's nothing wrong with me,' or, 'Oh, that's only for crazy people,' whatever the things that you put on it, or, 'I don't need any help. I got it all together.' When things are falling apart inside. How hard is it to just pick up the telephone and say, 'I need some help,' to put in a prayer request? How hard is it? It's very hard at times, isn't it? Why? Because what gets in the way? Our pride. What will people think of me if I cry in church? If I ask for help? But if you want to be cured and you want to be healed and you want to be restored and you want a better life and you want to come to a place of wholeness, you need the things around you that God has put in your life to help you. There's the Jordan River. There's the pastor's office. There's the altar over here. There's the telephone, right? All around us, right? How easy is it to put away our pride? Or is that the hardest thing yet? So maybe the curing that really Naaman needed was pride to be eliminated. So after this, these soldiers talked to him, he says, so Naaman went down to the Jordan River after much, I'm just imagining it. I'll go. Oh, these people. What does that girl know? What do these soldiers know? And we don't care if you pound your way up here to the altar sometimes. And we don't care if we have to push, pull, and drag you here sometimes. Been there, done that. See, sometimes we want your healing more than you want your healing. And you just need a little push sometimes. And we got to move pride out of your way sometimes, don't we? Listen, we're all in the same boat, ladies and gentlemen. Not one of us is without pain, sorrow, hurt, and needs help. Not one of us is so powerful that we can do all things. Not one of us is without needing God's help. Not one of us. And as powerful a pastor as I am, I know I need God to help you. Yes? And help me help you. And help me. So can we let go of pride this morning? Will you be different than Naaman this morning and walk down and reach out and call out and text out and ask out somebody outside of yourself, please pray for me, I need God's help, right? I wish that Naaman would have said way back when Elisha first said to him, go and wash seven times in the Jordan River. I wish he would have said, if you say so, Elisha, I'll go. If you say so. I wish in all the years of my ministry, for all the times when people have asked me, what should I do? And I need to conquer this thing in me. Or I need this healing. Or I need to make a choice. I need to make a decision. I want my life to change. I'm tired of being tired and all that stuff. And I want something better. I want to get to know God better. I want to change. And I confer with God, and God says, here's what you need to do. And they go, okay, I'll go see someone else. Is there another pastor I can talk to? How many times I pray that they would say, if you say so. If God says so, right? If it's coming through a person that God is using. And God's using all of us all the time, not just us pastors. Right? Because we're not all that. We understand our role is the powerlessness as well, but we have God inside of us, right? As all of you do. Can we learn the phrase, if you say so? If you say so. Now, I told you there was going to be a comparison. I'm going to make this short, I think. No promises. If you say, I'm going to make this short. If you say so. Very nice. Very good. Okay, so chapter 8 of Matthew. This is a story you may be familiar with. Jesus was traveling around with large groups of people. Verse 5, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. If I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. It takes something to amaze Jesus, I want you to know. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." Now we're going to do a comparison. This is a Roman officer, very high in power. In fact, the Israelites, the Jews at the time, were under their power, as we well know. He was a high commander. This is a man that could have commanded Jesus to heal his servant. And what we see instead is him coming humbly to Jesus and saying, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You're higher than me. You're beyond me. But if you say the word, if you say so, Jesus, my servant will be healed." This man had great faith, not because of the power that he had, but in fact, he knew he was powerless over having his servant healed, doesn't he? You see how he has humility about himself? The difference between him and Naaman? But the stories, they coincide in a way. There was a servant girl who said to Naaman, "I want you healed." She's a servant. He's the commander. And yet she's asking for him to be healed. And then we have Jairus, a commander who has a servant who's below him, so to speak, and wants that servant healed. You see how there's two servants involved and two commanders involved? And you see Jesus and God in the middle of it all? And you see how they come at the situation differently? Naaman was proud and arrogant, self-absorbed, and he doubted God, and he wanted things his own way. Jairus was humble. He cared about that servant more than he cared about himself. As high as he was, and as high as God is, he cares about all of us equally. You see that as we as servants? There is no hierarchy with God as far as people go. A pastor isn't above a servant. In fact, a pastor has to be a servant. The last will be first, and the first will be last. And he let God determine how it would happen. But his faith was so great that he knew that Jesus, by just speaking the words right where he was, that he could heal that servant. And whatever Jesus said is what this Jairus knew was going to happen. That's how strong his faith was. That amazed Jesus. Because first of all, this Roman man was respected by all the people around him. He had built a synagogue for them. Even though he was a Roman soldier and was above these Jewish people, he built them a place of God. So think about that. He humbled himself, used his own means of income to build that place for people to come and worship. But beyond that, more importantly, he wanted his servant healed. Because he knew he was powerless over healing the servant. So when we can admit that we are powerless over anything and everything that we cannot control, or things that are outside of our control that we cannot change, when we realize that and admit that, and humbly say to God, "I can't do this, only you can. But if you say the words, Lord, you can heal anyone of anything." That's how strong my faith is in you, God. And first and foremost, God, I ask you to heal us all of our pride. Get rid of that pride above all things, because it blocks the way often for us to be healed. Naaman was a man of pride and doubt, and he wanted his own way. Compare him to Jairus, who was a man of humility and faith, who wanted it God's way. Jairus was, if you say so, person, was he not? Understood his position, powerful as he was, he still needed God to direct him. So what does that do for us? How does that help us this morning? We're going to learn a phrase. If you say so. If you say so. So if you hear God speaking to you in the middle of the night, and he tells you to get up and pray for somebody, you're going to say, I got to get some more sleep. Oh, if you say so. If God tells you to call someone and ask them for help, and your cell phone weighs about 5,000 pounds and you can't seem to pick it up, then God's saying, I want to help you. And this person, I'm putting this person in your life to help you. Talk to them. Ask them to pray for you. Talk to them and see how they can counsel you and give you some direction, some wisdom. They're way older than you. They might know more than you. If God says that to you, you're going to say, they're too busy for me to call them. If you say so. If God puts in your heart and mind something to do for somebody else, and it's going to cost you something, your time, your energy, or your money, or if it's not the way in which you want to help somebody, you know, because we all have our gifts. And God says, no, I don't want you to do it that way, the easy way. I want you to try it this way. You're going to say, I don't want to do it that way. Oh, if you say so. If God calls on you to forgive someone or everyone, and you say they don't deserve it, you don't know how bad they hurt me, I want revenge on them, they deserve to suffer, God says forgive them, you say, if you say so. How many of you want to change more spiritually and grow to be more like God? Yes. So, from this moment, going forward, in your prayer time, in your journaling time, in times of trouble, if you need help, you're going to ask for it? If you say so. If you need prayer, you're going to speak up about it? If God tells you to do something for him, whatever it seems to be, as odd as it may be, you're going to say to God, if you say so. Amen.